And it'll be in Punnett, of course, on Saturday. And then I'll be here live Sunday. Special program for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Special hello to the members of the California Highway Patrol, the CHIPS. As a matter of fact, I had a great story from my friend George Poulos, who works at the Great Greek Restaurant here in Los Angeles. He was on his way home, and there was a driver apparently in front of George swerving in his lane to the point where good old George, and he is old, had to swerve as well. And apparently the trooper didn't see from the angle the other guy swerving. All he could see was George swerving. So he pulled old George over. So George pulls over, shuts off his engine, does not shut off his radio, and he's listening to me. He's listening to Coast. And the highway patrol officer comes up to the window, and, you know, George is doing what he should do. He's got his hands on the steering wheel, and the radio's on. And the trooper says, "Sir, you were swerving." And he said, "Well, I had to get away from this car. This guy was crossing the line, you know, every 10 seconds. And, of course, the highway patrol officer didn't see that. So he said, "Have you been drinking?" And George said, "No, sir, I have not. I am sober." And the patrolman, believed him. And then he heard Coast to Coast going on in the car. And he said, "I love that show. You listen to it?" And he says, "Yeah, I listen to it. I know the guy." And so he let him go. How about that? So a little hello to the highway patrol out there. And it dawned on me what would happen had George not been listening to Coast that night. What if he was listening to just music? Would he have gotten a ticket? So it kind of made me think a little bit. And then as I was looking at my office wall, where I have a whole bunch of stuff posted up there, one of my favorite poems by Robert Frost is up there. I'm going to read it to you. It's not the poetry hour, but it's important for why we're going to open up a special hotline tonight. And it is a poem that I live by. It's called "The Road Not Taken." And it goes on, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden back. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." And I've always thought about that in my life. I've wondered, what if I had taken the other road? In anything that I did, anything, my career, relationships, what would have happened? So I'm going to open up, in addition to open lines tonight, a special hotline called the What If Hotline. And I want you to think about that, not only in your own life, be creative, past events, future events that you might think about. What if things just didn't happen, things didn't occur the way they did or the way they could? So that special number for you is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. The West of the Rockies line, of course, is 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. And then, of course, you have the What If hotline at 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go right to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Good morning to you. Where are you calling from?
Calling from North Central Oklahoma. This is Todd.
Welcome to the program, Todd.
Glad to get through again. It's been a little while since I spoke to you. The reason I was calling, George, I podcast. Because of my work schedule, I'm not able to listen to the show live.
Right.
So I'm generally, you know, a few days behind schedule. Whenever I transfer the recordings to my MP3 player, I actually run them through a software package and boost the volume. I work in a machine shop. It's real noisy, so I need the extra volume boost so I can hear it.
Yeah, you need that push.
If I, the reason I'm calling, I was listening to your latest interview with Lionel Fanthorpe.
Okay.
I was listening to it a couple days ago. And at one point, it was an hour and 15 minutes into the interview. You'd asked him about his latest book. There was a pause in the conversation, and I'm getting, this sounds funny, your screener actually laughed about it. I'm getting a very loud bear growl, very distinctive, coming through on the recording. What I'm wondering is if maybe some of your listeners could chime in, maybe your engineer could go back to your copy, you know, that's archived there on the server, and listen at that. Like I say, it's at an hour and 15 minutes into the interview.
For how long? How long does it last?
It's just one good bear growl. It almost sounds like a canned voice effect. You know,
I think I know what that was. I think that was Lionel. He during some of his stories. Has some kind of a technique where he kind of like grumbles or something. I'm pretty sure that was it because
this was definitely not a human. What I'm hearing. Normally I wouldn't have thought twice about it, but like I say, I boost the volume on these, and it's kind of like enhancing the brightness on a picture.
Sure.
A lot of times, something that you didn't normally see or hear will come through. And, you know, I pick up a lot of extra clicks and pops, but this was extremely distinct.
All right, well, I'll take it to the tech heads. We'll see what's going on there.
Okay, I'd appreciate it. Like
all
I
right.
say, that's, it was an hour, 1 hour
right,
and 15 minutes in.
Got it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's go to our What If hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello there, George. How you doing?
Yeah, good to talk to you.
First time caller. Very excited to start listening to your show about 6 months ago. And I'm addicted.
Well, great. I'm glad we. How did you stumble into us? I'm curious.
One of my good friends, he's, we went to high school together and we separated for college, but he owns a liquor store. Now, so I ran into him in my hometown and he told me, like, you got to listen to this 580. And I'm like, whatever. So one day on my way home, I was like, let me turn it on. And you guys were actually talking about the crystal skulls that night. And
yes.
I thought, this is amazing. And then I heard time travel, alien, and I love it.
We do it all. So you're calling tonight on the What If hotline.
The What If hotline.
Tell me what if.
Okay, George, as Rosa Parks just passed away, and of course that affects all of us, what if Rosa Parks wouldn't have stood her ground and not moved from her seat?
What a great possible thing to think about. Now, that's intriguing. I interviewed her back in 1971 in Detroit. I was 21 years old. She gave me a great interview. She was gracious. I talked a little bit about it on the day she died. What if she did not do what she did? What if she simply gave up her seat, went to the back of the bus, and kept quiet? I wonder if eventually time would have caught up with that event. Somebody else might have done that. But let's assume for a moment that they did not, or they would not. How would things have changed here? Boy, I got to tell you, that is it's an eerie thought, isn't it?
If you think about it, there's actually a lot of things that can come into mind. Most of them negative, unfortunately. But like what I was trying to get to is this woman, a frail little woman, pretty much took such a big stand that if you're basically any part of society and you see that this woman made such a big stand, me as an able human, I'm going to make a stand also.
Yes.
I'm Mexican-American, not African-American, but seeing people like such obviously make a stand, they make us want to get out and do things. So I think Rosa Parks really did do a great thing in taking that stand because she didn't just do it for herself. I think she did it as a whole and boosted her people to go out and find a and segregation.
Oh, she absolutely did. And your thought of what if she did not, I think, could have affected us for years and years to come. Eventually, I hope that humanity would have gotten to the point to fix those ills, but
I
you just
so
don't know how long it would have taken.
Exactly, because it seems like people were sleeping on it before,
yeah,
and it just took that one small, no, I'm sitting here to finally get the people going.
That's right. Hey, great question. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Next, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast, wherever you are. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a very interesting story for you, George. This is my first time calling you.
Well, welcome to the program, and where might you be? We always ask that.
Okay, I'm calling from Colville, Washington. KVCL country.
Now tell me the story.
Well, I was living in Spokane about 1993-94. Around that time, living on by myself in my own stinky little apartment in Hilliard. In Spokane. Well, I was going to the store just a few minutes after I got out of the store. I kind of had this weird something got in my mind and told me to get home fast. So it usually take me about 14, 15 minutes to make it home. Well, it took me about 7 minutes. So as soon as I got home, found out later that night, like I predicted, there was a murder took place within 2 blocks of where I lived.
You gotta be kidding.
I'm not kidding. I was shocked, and I was kind of nervous. And
well, I guess you would be.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be?
God, you want to believe this. Soon afterwards, like 4 or 5 years later, something told me I was on my way back from, I'm kind of nervous.
Are you?
Yes. See, I was on my way home from visiting a friend, and there was a white car. Something told me not to get in the car. And, well, this person asked me for directions. My bus is coming. I don't know what this place. Ask someone else. Turn around. I don't know. Did I kind of put it back in my mind till after I moved up to Colville, Washington, found out that was a serial killer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How does this thing happen to you?
I had this premonition.
Well, see, you've got a gift. You've got a really good gift at that. And it saved you at least twice. I bet it's probably saved you more than that. Maybe you can teach us how that happens, and it could rub off on all of us. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, Mark here in Ohio again.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, the old forestall guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't talked to you in a while, George. It'd been about last spring. Well, that's probably better than average, isn't it?
Yeah. Not bad. You know what? Some people have a knack for getting through. They know the system.
Yeah.
Other
yeah.
people have tried for years and they can't do it.
Well, it's kind of like a golf swing, George. I was.
Oh God! Yeah, I gave up golfing because my slice was so bad that in order for the ball to go straight, yeah. I had to aim at a complete 90-degree angle,
yeah.
and it would swoop over.
You had to aim in the county left of the fairway.
Yeah, except one day I didn't slice, and I hit some guy right in the head, and he's no longer with. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, change your grip, George. Try the grip change. Put your hands on top of the club.
Yeah, exactly. My old baseball.
Just real quick tip, George.
Anyway, that's enough of my golf story.
Yeah. Anyhow, the reason I was calling was I wanted to make an interesting comment about the Mayan calendar. You may have already... you're probably aware of this already, George, I'm thinking, but for the benefit of the viewing audience, this is really interesting.
All right, what is it?
I got this from, I won't reveal, well, this lady calls herself Ixtab. She's an astrologer and an oracleist. She reads oracles, and she claims to be a descendant of the Mayan goddess. And this thing, it looks like it was set up by a physicist or a mathematician. But anyway, of course, it's in the shape of a calendar. You're aware the Mayan calendar looks like it's a pyramid shape.
Yeah.
At each, I've got it in my throat today. Good old Ohio.
You've swallowed a frog, haven't you, as it was hopping by.
Yes, exactly. anyway, each level, George, are called tones, and they and the bottom level starts out at 16.4 billion years ago at the cellular level. Now, of course, that's beyond the 14.5 billion that astronomers attest, I mean, attribute to the origin, isn't it? It's about 2 billion years older than the 14. Well, anyway, they say 64 billion. So then you jump up to the, each tone, by the way, is 20 times shorter than the preceding level. You jump up halfway up to the tribal level at 2 billion years, which does make sense, recalling my...
Well, get us up to the top here, this pyramid.
Yeah, okay, and then it ends up at the next level is 102,000 years, the cultural level, and then 5,000 years at the national level, and then 1755, the planetary level, and then January 1999, the 10th of January, and that was the beginning of the galactic level. And that makes sense, of course, when you think about it. And then the very top, February 10, 2011, she calls the beginning of the Age of Enlightenment. Now, that's probably what you've discussed before, isn't it, George?
Sure, indeed, because that's a good thing. But, you know, a lot of people, when they've talked about the Mayan calendar ending December 21st, 2012, that's that big thing, that's a winter solstice, all kinds of things, that we're going to have major earth changes, pole shifts, an asteroid's going to hit us, the Mayans knew something horrible. You know what? I personally think nothing serious will happen. I really don't. First time caller line, you're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Hello there, sir.
So I like to punish the technology, and I found a RFID tag on a DVD that I bought at a local store,
all
Big
right.
Blue store. And if you take that thing and you put it in the microwave oven for just a second, you get to see the little antenna go up in a puff of smoke.
Where was it attached to the DVD?
Oh, it was kind of hidden inside the case, you know, underneath a
liner note. Oh, it is. Okay. So it's not by the barcode?
No, it wasn't associated with the barcode at all. You could tell it was the RFID. It wasn't the magnetic thing.
How big is the thing?
Oh, this was about 3/4 of an inch square.
Well, that's pretty good size.
Yeah, of course, you wouldn't want to put your electronics in the microwave oven. That wouldn't be a good idea,
but it's got
the tag off itself, and it was neat to see it go up in a puff of smoke, but you could cut the thing in two with a pair of scissors. That would work too.
Yeah, so it's not that hard, is it? It's pretty flexible.
Yeah, it was like I say, about 3/4 of an inch square. This one was it
glued to the package?
Oh, it was kind of like built on a Mylar base. If you've seen the latest commercial on TV about a particular credit card company that they has a little blue square in the center
mm-hmm,
of it,
mm-hmm.
You can actually see the RFID tag embedded in the card along with the little curly-Q antenna.
Well, I tell you, these things are everywhere, and as much as we may scream about them, I think they're going to just keep coming. And so will you, because we'll be right back, as we've got open lines tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Well, hello, Streamlink members, calling themselves the Coast Riders. When they're chatting during the program, hi to you. Don't forget, Tuesday at 8 o'clock Pacific time, we'll have our chat, our Streamlink chat. Those of you listening on your favorite radio stations around the country and in Canada, hello to you. And also XM and the many chat rooms all around the country. Nighthawkzone.com, hi to you. You know, that's kind of funny because when I was in St. Louis doing my talk show there for a number of years, I called myself the Nighthawk. That was the name of the program. And then this chat room pops up called the Nighthawk Zone, and I have a feeling that it was a fellow by the name of Bad Boy who created that and somehow tied it into what I was called in St. Louis. Pretty clever, mind you. And then the rest of the chat room, side to all of you as well, National Radio Club members who encircled me at a store, believe it or not, this week. Three members of the National Radio Club. I have no idea how many members of the National Radio Club there may be, but they found me and couldn't get away. But good people, I'll tell you. Good people indeed. We'll be back in a moment. Don't forget our What If hotline, 818-817-0021. Coast to Coast continues in a moment. I have pulled out Dr. Lewis Turey's predictions for November. You know, he's been pretty darn accurate with everything he has said. November 8th, I mean next week, he says that there will be a big explosion or earthquake. So let's monitor that. November 19th, he says lots of people will be forced to relocate, beginning a new life. And then November 29th, he says an ugly energy involving death for many people. So we'll monitor that situation as well. He has been extremely accurate. He is getting a little hesitant in telling me specifics. I think he thinks something major is going to happen, and he's not the kind of person to want to instill fear. So he doesn't want to talk about specific cities, places, even on this planet. But his accuracy rate is incredible. Let's go back to the phones. The What If Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
What if?
Well, I have a personal what if story.
That's all right.
Okay, great. When I was very young, I had a steady boyfriend, and I became pregnant. And he had a full-ride scholarship to go to college, and I had health problems, and my parents absolutely refused to let us get married. So this went on for a couple of weeks, and he brought his parents over, and they had a powwow, and my dad finally gave in and set a wedding date. So all these years later, you know, my dad, he's dying, and I'm cruising him through town, and he put his hand on my hand. The last year of his life, he called me baby, and he says, baby, I want to tell you something. And I said, what is it, Dad? And he goes, I just want to thank you for having the good sense at 16 to marry that man. He's been a better son than the son I had.
How about that?
And then so my son got married, and we were sitting in the front row, and I handed my husband a card because I had given it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And I said, it said, thank you. And then in there I wrote, thanks because you stood up against all the odds. You bought my medicine. You know, you raised three sons. You know, you could have left me in a unwed mother's home. And, you know, that's what they wanted you to do. And, you know, because of you, we're here today. And we're going to have grandchildren and, you know, and all these things that everybody told us we couldn't do. So if he had turned his back, I would be in a nursing home somewhere. Instead, I have a life, I have grandchildren, and I'm enjoying myself.
Okay, you're giving me tears in my eyes.
He's a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And he's never complained, not one time, about the price of my medicine or anything.
At 16, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
And my dad, he thanked me. I never thought I would hear it from my dad, you know. But towards the end of his life, he thanked me.
That was a great what if.
You think so?
Yeah. Thanks for sharing it.
Okay. All right, thank
bye.
You, George.
Ooh. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, George.
Yeah.
Paul in Arizona.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I love your show.
Thank you.
But I've got a great what if.
Okay.
What if everybody for one day, truck drivers, taxi cab drivers, you, me, we all stop buying gas?
You know what? That is a great what if, because it could send a message.
It could send a big message.
Just one day. That's
just
all.
One day. Everybody stop on the same day. Just don't buy gas.
You know, and it's not, and the message, of course, isn't, you know, we're going to try to hurt your pocketbook, because they know we're going to buy it eventually anyway.
Right.
It's just to send a message that, you know what, we're getting a little tired of this, and we don't want to take it anymore.
Yeah, they made billions, and they didn't have to raise the price of diesel. It's affecting everything.
Absolutely.
Our groceries, everything is affected by the truck.
These people are so greedy.
Very greedy.
You know, how much money do you need to be happy? You know, I see people with not a lot of money that, you know, they're going on their life and they have a great family and they go to a small restaurant, nothing elaborate, and they go home and they listen to the radio or they watch television and they're happy, they're content. These people who are making billions are just never happy.
And they never will be.
No.
They're looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place.
I got a what if these fat cats lose all their money? I wonder how they'd make it out there in the real world.
They wouldn't.
No. They wouldn't know what to do.
The people that work for a living would survive.
Absolutely. But they wouldn't. They'd have no idea what to do.
No.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Maybe one day. You know, some people have emailed me since I got on my podium to talk about gas prices and the fact that they go up pretty fast, but they come down very slow. And they've wanted us through this massive program to do a call for a one-day boycott. And, you know, it's something that I have not decided to kick away by any means. It might be one possibility if everybody really would stick with it. And, you know, and quite frankly, I don't care if you fill up your car on the day before it starts. The issue is just to really stay tough. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you coming from?
Oh, hi, George.
I kind of caught you sleeping there, didn't I?
Well, yeah, I was listening to you.
All right.
I'm from Fullerton.
You're breaking up a little bit, but go ahead.
It's my phone. Fullerton, California. Am I better?
You on one of those wireless ones?
Yeah, but I can go to the other room.
All right.
We're talking.
Go ahead. Walk
I
there.
I am.
While you're doing that, why don't you give us a little tour of the house? What do we see here?
Well, we're turning on the lights as we walk through the house.
All right.
You know, this is embarrassing.
It is. Networked
better,
radio right? show. Millions of people listening.
I know.
Stumbling
that's
through your house.
And some of them are going to recognize my story.
And they should. All right, go ahead. You got that phone in better shape?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, something that's been bothering me for years is I worked with a guy here in Long Beach, California, at Boeing. And we had separated, and I had moved to Seattle area, and that's kind of like I know your thing about coincidences.
Yeah.
And so let's fast forward then about 20 years, and I was in a shopping center late Christmas Eve with my wife's folks, and waiting for them, and this guy walks by that looks a little bit like Billy. I thought it was Billy Crystal, and then I looked at him real hard, and I thought, you know, it was this guy that I used to work with. And I walked up behind him, and I said, Chuck? I called him twice. And he turned around, and he looked at me, and he stared, and his mouth just dropped open. He says, Jack? And, you know, so, I've examined these like a map, you know, like a storyboard. I've tried to lay it out, and all of the paths that we would have had to have taken and turns to, you know, to meet again like that for a chance meeting like that. And the strange thing that came out of it is the only thing that was really striking about our meeting is he told me within a few minutes of our conversation that his daughter had been murdered.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my. What a horrible thing to happen.
Yeah. And it was like, why did he impart that knowledge on me? And why did, you know, I walked and thought about that meeting and thought, how did we possibly meet? And why was that, you know, how come he told me that his daughter was murdered?
Well, it probably obviously is something that'll never go away, and I guess he has. It makes him, maybe it comforts him to share it with people that he cared about.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's just that I hope you know. Can I tell you one other quick story?
How quick?
Real quick.
All right.
The same guy. We were standing in front of a wall one time, bare wall, concrete floor, and he threw a wad of paper up into a trash barrel.
Okay.
Honest to God. And he realized that there was something on it. We both walked over to it, looked into the trash barrel, and there was nothing. And there was no way.
You mean the wad of paper was not there?
Yeah. You know how he threw it in there, and we kind of like did the high five, you know.
Like he made his basket,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he made his basket. And he said, oh, there was something on there. We both walked over, and there was nothing. We watched go in, and I've been meaning to tell somebody this for years. And there was no a flat wall in a big building.
It's obviously a portal to someplace.
Yeah, I know it. Honest to God, when you guys talk about portals, I'm thinking I saw one.
Hey, what was on the paper, though? I want to know that.
Yeah, who knows?
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Well, thanks for being there.
Appreciate it. What If Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Kathy from Mesa, Arizona.
And what if,
I've
Kathy?
Got a what if for you.
Okay.
I've got a July 5th, 1934 newspaper. And one of the articles on the front page shows a picture of Hitler, and the headlines say, Doctors Say Hitler Showing Insanity Signs. 1934. What if the world had listened?
What if the world had listened? What a story. I'd never heard
American
that before.
Paper.
Now, what did the doctors, were they U.S. doctors, German doctors, does it say?
You know, I was going to make a copy of that and send it to you sometime, because it's also down on the bottom shows Madame Curie just died. And
was it a buried story or was it a headline?
No, front page, upper right-hand corner, and the rest of it was the title of one of the big bloody days in Germany where he was fighting with his, you know, the people who were fighting him. And there's clearly a picture of Hitler. It's a one-column thing. And it's been so long since I read the story, I'd have to go back and read it, but it says, Doctors Say Hitler Showing Insanity Signs.
And how right they were.
I mean, full headlines right there, front page of an American paper.
What if? You know, that brings up some very interesting thoughts, too, you know, with everything, I think.
Yeah, and yet I also have a full-page ad from Fortune magazine in 1939, where they're promoting Germany as a wonderful place for executives to vacation.
Oh, and let me tell you, there were some U.S. corporations that thought the world of that regime, funneled money to them, got
right.
contracts and everything else.
Right.
Little did they know.
Totally amazing.
Yep. Thanks. Hey, thanks. That's a great story.
Thanks.
I did not know that. That is a great what if. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg from Missouri, kind of close to St. Louis there.
Hey, Greg. What's the weather like out there, by the way? I'm going to be there around Thanksgiving. Is it
It's right? Beautiful right now, about 65 and real nice.
That's unusual for this time of year.
It is. I'm just driving back there myself tonight.
All right. What's going on?
Well, had a quick story about this last Halloween. I'm actually a Wiccan reverend, and a local haunted house in town there had been saying that whenever they were up or whenever there was no music or anything on, they would hear banging or they would feel a presence and stuff. So they had approached me and asked me to do a ritual after they closed on Samhain night or Halloween night.
Sort of like an exorcism?
No, they didn't want anything clear. They just wanted to know what was going on.
All right.
And so after they had closed, I came and there were people there that had had this experience throughout the course of the season, as I guess it happened last year too. And you know, I cast a circle, started just kind of doing some meditation with the pendulum, and my feet just started to burn incredibly, and the pendulum began to move a little bit, which I kind of had expected.
Sure.
And just really, you know, felt flame and pain. We later found out in doing some research after I had done that, it was a cement factory that they held it in. They called the owners to try and get a little more information this week. And one of the drivers had actually gotten into a wreck right out in front of the cement factory and had burned to death inside of his truck. And parts of that truck apparently were actually taken for salvage and was still in that cement factory where they hold this haunted house. So that's obviously a real good place for a haunted house.
Absolutely. And you were so sensitive to pick up on that heat sensation.
Right. Yep, definitely.
Okay.
So it was different.
All right. How did you get into being a Wiccan? How did that all happen?
I just, from my own natural path and stuff, things didn't always feel right. I studied a lot of religions, and when I was about 17, I came across the Wiccan faith, and I've been doing it for about, not doing it, living it for almost about 14 years.
Just so people will understand and they'll hear it from you, from your own mouth, you do not practice Satanism, right?
Oh, thank you. Yes. Wiccans do not be the presence of a Satan, thus we cannot be Satanists, or we can't believe in Satan if we don't think there is one.
You believe in a male-female God, but you believe in God.
That is correct.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you being on the program. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I want to thank you first because you saved my life every night. I'm a truck driver, and I drive in the evenings. I do a line haul between Utah and Idaho Falls and back. A few nights back, also, you spoke with my daughter. She had called in. Ironically, I was working, and thank you for letting her ask her question to you.
Well, you're welcome.
So anyway, November 1st, I was working, and November 1st is significant for me, for my father had died 7 years ago on that day. And I was coming home, back home from Idaho, and I had been following a pickup for a little while. You know, my truck's governed at 70.
Right.
And I assume he had his, you know, cruise probably set for about, you know, about the same.
Sure.
Or whatever. So I couldn't pass, you know, but I wasn't tailgating, but I was probably not back as far as I should have been. But I had been following, and there was no other traffic really to worry about, and the weather was fine. At about mile marker 23, and this is significant because my birthday is November 23rd, I saw lights in the back in my mirror behind my truck, and I realized it looked to be a, you know, police car. So yes, I pulled over, and this officer walked up, or so I thought. And I see auras. Okay,
right.
I am psychic. I'm clairvoyant. I'm clairaudient. Clairvision. But anyway, I did not see an aura on this figure whatsoever. So now I'm kind of freaking out a little bit inside, but I'm keeping my cool and realizing, you know, it's everything's okay. I'm in control.
All right, you get to finish the story when we come right back, okay? Because I'll have you pick it up around the fact where this non-aura person came up to your cab. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.